What are some signs of misalignment in your staff or in your church board?
The biggest violator of all, the biggest sign is siloing or stay in your lane thinking.
Well, hey everyone, welcome to the Intentional Churches podcast. My name is Aaron and I'm here with my co-host, our good friend Doug Parks. What's up, Doug?
Hey, Aaron. Just recovering from a flight home.
All right. Kind of seems like your life, recovering from a flight home. Yeah. We're always on the move.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yes. No, unfortunately. Well, I actually enjoy it. So.
Yes, that's right. Well, we have been in a conversation around alignment in our churches, which just seems for our listeners probably like a conversation anybody in church leadership, or even honestly, anybody that it participates in church at a deep level of any kind can probably understand just the importance of a conversation around alignment and helping our teams align around the same things. And not just the same things, but the right things is one of the things we talked about in our last episode with Bart. And so we're going to continue to drill in on this for this episode. But I really want to kind of shift our focus to alignment, particularly around like our church staff and our like governance boards. Like, how are we bringing alignment in those particular areas? You know, I thought it was so helpful in our last episode that Bart pointed to all the places that we experience alignment, even down into our congregation, even down personally ourselves, you know. But let's kind of stick this episode to just our staff and our governance boards. And so maybe let's just start, Doug, with, for our listeners, like, what are some signs of misalignment? Like, if someone was listening going, I'm not sure if we're aligned or not, what should they be looking for? What are some signs of misalignment in your staff or in your church board?
Yeah, there are many, but one of the ones in staff automatically, and even if your staff is volunteer, you might be a smaller church leader where a lot of your, you know, ministry leaders are volunteer. It could be the same thing. The biggest violator of all, the biggest sign is siloing or stay in your lane thinking, where it's, you know, hey, my ministry, I'm specializing in my ministry, and it's as if that ministry then becomes the end, and it's not the means to the end of Great Commission accomplishment. So that is the classic sign of misalignment, and probably the one you will, fighting siloing thinking will be the thing you fight basically your entire ministry career. Especially if your church grows, because when you hire specialists, when you grow, you hire more and more specialists, the more and more siloed they start becoming. Recently, I just heard a story from a church where their kind of facilities operational guy was, stay in your lane. Hey, my job is I facilitate ministry by having a great facility and room set up and all this stuff. I don't do the Great Commission work. But it's amazing. This team included him on a major project team around how do we fire up evangelism, and he's sprouting new wings. He's developing as a leader, and so I think that siloing, stay in your lane thinking. One of the ones for the boards and elders that I see, if you hear your board saying or behaving like the United Nations or the House of Representatives. Like they're an elected body whose job is to be, again, siloed. I represent this people group in our church. And so if you hear in your elder meetings, like, I heard of a family who, these are all phrases to me that would begin to indicate misalignment, because we're seeing it through the wrong lens, that our job is to serve the people of the church as consumers. Because that's what this logic tells us, is that we're serving people as consumers when we have this House of Representatives feel.
Yeah, that's so real. I'm sure there's listeners right now like, huh, I've heard some of those things in my church, you know, or I have said some of those things myself. I know this is a pretty pervasive issue as you kind of travel to many, many churches. And one of the roles of intentional churches is to help bring alignment to teams. And so I really want to head in the direction of, even if your church is in a place where you're experiencing just significant misalignment, there's hope. Like, your church does not have to stay there. There's great resources, great tools, great people who can help your church head in the direction of some greater alignment. And I would love to just tap into that here, maybe for just a minute. Like, how do we begin to like cast vision for greater alignment in particularly our staff and our boards? Like I would love to kind of start living in some of the practical for this episode, Doug.
Yeah. So one of the ways we probably talked about it on every episode from a different angle, and that is strategy number one has to be, how do we personalize the Great Commission for each and every individual in our staff and in our boards? Mm-hmm. Too many times we see that staff and boards aren't doing the things we're asking the congregation to do all the way. Mm-hmm. And it may be a surface issue like not giving, mm-hmm. or they're not active around the Great Commission with their relational network, with the people, lost people in their lives. These are indicators of misalignment. Like, you can't move this forward until we start coming face to face with, hey, these strategies or activity God has for us in the church, like going to a church service, investing, planting and watering in lost people in my relational networks, giving of my money, giving of my time, being in community together. These aren't programmatic ideas. These are like strategies at a base level to get people into the practice of disciple making. Mm-hmm. They're environments for that. And so just very pragmatically, it's got to start at the individual level and making sure that's happening. The other strategy that we employ, that a lot of teams have done this before, but it's this idea of cross ministry or cross functionality mm-hmm. in teams. The formalized way we do it in IC, we create VIP teams, vision and initiative projects. All these are efforts, and you don't have to develop this real formalized thing like we do. You can do kind of these scrum teams that are cross-functional, cross-ministry to work on issues. One of the mm-hmm. great ones for me, if your staff is a little bigger, is around your weekend worship experience and service. Because most staffs are very siloed in their thinking. There might be 7 or 8 different specialties or departments that help pull off a weekend worship experience. Mm-hmm. You could set up a little ongoing cross-ministry, a cross-functional team to drive coordination and even some breakthrough around that ministry. So the utilization of cross-functionality and that thinking as a church leader, super important to gaining alignment. And then last one I will give for now, and I want to ask you a question about this. Like, our teaching around the poor evaluation standards is the negative. Like, mm-hmm. here are the ways we don't want to evaluate our church strategy through personal preference, and are we getting better, and comparing ourselves to other stories, churches, and then the big breaker of church strategy, strategic conversation, anecdotal story, justifying yeah. through, I know someone who, you know, yes. these, we teach through the negative a lot. But one of the strategies on the positive side to get alignment is getting buy-in and creating a shared true north for your church mm-hmm. and your church leadership team, and utilizing that true north, like, this is where God has our church heading, then is the way by which we design ministry, prioritize ministry, and strategize about ministry, and even evaluate and learn about it, because then we're more aligned in it instead of these, oh, my personal preference is different than yours, Aaron. So,
yes.
So I know in your work, you guys have really spent a lot of time around like DNA, and this is who the people we're becoming. Mm-hmm. How has that changed some of this misalignment in your church? Give us some ways that it has.
One of the things about, we have some DNA statements that we use that think of them kind of as value statements, but basically what we mean by DNA statements is, like, we know who we're becoming, and who we're becoming is, we want to spark a movement of disciple makers with too many generations to count. That's our vision. That's what we're headed after. But in order to do that, what are going to be some of the behaviors that we're going to have to do together to get to that place? Like, if that were to become true, what are we going to actually have to do? And so we set out to kind of just fumble our way in the direction of this vision. And instead of having, you know, every church has value statements, which are awesome. We should have values. We should have non-negotiables. But the thing that I have often experienced, and I experienced this at a church I worked at previously, was we had value statements that were very aspirational. And we were misaligned in even our living of our value statements, because many of them we weren't living, or only some people were living. And so instead, we tried to say, rather than having aspirational statements, we're going to try to live in the direction of our vision together. And then we're going to look around us and say, what behaviors are we actually seeing? Like, what are the things we're actually doing that are helping us in the direction of our vision? And then we're going to name those behaviors, and those are going to become our values. Because then they're not aspirational, they're who we are. We are already doing these. And what we did, just kind of what you just talked about, is we formed a cross-functional team. We listened widely across our staff. It wasn't just the leadership team, whoever that is. You know, it was the most unusual suspects across our staff to say, what are you seeing? What are you noticing about how we behave together, about the things we value together? And we listened to a bunch of people, and we gathered all of what they said. And it said, it seems like we were aligned around seven key statements. Things like, we value multiplication through relational networks, through generational networks, you know, over addition. Now, that doesn't mean we don't value addition ever, but we just are going to always choose multiplication over addition every moment we can. That's an example of one of the seven statements. Again, not aspirational, but actually what was our behavior saying about what we were doing together? So that's one way I would say our DNA has served us. I'd love to offer another thing that has really helped us in this alignment conversation. And that is, I've been talking to a few other churches about this idea of corporate discernment. Now, I know I just used a couple of big words that can be very loaded. Confusing. Yeah, it's super loaded. Basically, all I mean by that is we listen to God both individually and together about what he wants for our church. And now, of course, every church leader would say, we all do that. And of course, we all do our best to do that. But we have a very intentional corporate discernment structure that we follow anytime we are looking out to the next season to say, strategically, what are we going to do? What's going to be our priorities? What are going to be, if we're going to have VIP teams, or like you talked about, cross-functional teams working on projects, what are those going to be? Well, before we try to think about any of that, we want to discern, what is God saying to us about the season that we are in? And so we have a cross-functional team that comes together with some simple pre-work questions to try to listen to God against our vision. Our vision does not change, but maybe the theme or the thing we're focusing on in that vision shifts from season to season. And so then everything we do strategically, everything our staff does or executes on, it points back to the vision, first of all, but it also points back to the thing we discerned together. The output of our discernment time, our discernment gathering cross-functionally, is a theme. Like, what is our theme? What is the thing that we're kind of focusing on for this season? And so that's another tool we use when someone wants to do something and say, I have this great idea, how does it fit into our discernment? Which has been helpful because it's a little bit more specific than, we want to spark a movement of disciple makers. Mm. Well, we can make a lot of things kind of fit in sparking the movement of disciple makers. But when you have that extra layer of discernment to say, but how does it fit into this focus and emphasis, that's helped bring a lot of alignment to us.
Oh, that's great. That's great, Aaron.
I would love to just start thinking, just even, you know, even a step further in the practical conversation around, you know, if we have listeners right now that are like, okay, I hear some of the things you have talked about in terms of misalignment, and I hear those things, or I'm experiencing those things in my church, and I hear what you're saying around, you know, what are ways that we start kind of casting vision for, or putting things into practice for greater alignment. I wonder, before we get into kind of the last, like, what are the kind of the final next steps for this? What are some of the good things that you see that come from gaining alignment in your staff and in your governance boards and things like that? Like, Doug, you visit so many churches. Like, what are the good things that you see coming from churches that are actually finding alignment together?
Well, first and foremost, camaraderie, you know, a linking of arms in the leadership where you're not butting heads as much, even if you're nice about how you butt heads, you know, because, you know, the alignment brings that camaraderie, like that foxhole mentality, like we're in this together, of what we're trying to do. But in terms of results, I see teams that are fighting for alignment have to probably move a little slower in the early days because they're learning a new rhythm of a kind of a principle we teach of that a lot of teams don't practice, and that is getting to the last 10% of truth.
Yeah.
Like, respectfully, but that how can our team really honestly share about where we are around these things, especially when you have a true north or like the vision stuff you were talking about, that, you know, we can give now an honest opinion. So inside, I would say it helps create retention in staff, camaraderie, but the byproduct primarily is mission and vision accomplishment. Mm-hmm. The more tightly aligned a team gets, the more ground they take. So even though it may be slow in the beginning, if they invest the time, they have the relational equity, they're doing the self examination of growth, trying to wrestle with why I react the way I do. If you're passive aggressive and you don't know it, or you're manipulative in the way you do, or you're codependent, or whatever these emotional things are, when you're coming to terms with what they are and how they affect around you, it just leads to all this really, really, really good momentum where we get to the core of strategy and mobilizing and activating people. The more aligned you can get them, especially if you can get all the way down through from staff, board, key leaders, all the way to the congregant level, which is a years-long proposition, and you'll be fighting for it continually. That kind of alignment, then you will see a church kind of move mountains along the way.
Doug, do you have any stories of this? Like, either stories of like epic fails of alignment, or like win stories, like celebration stories of a church that maybe was so misaligned and they fought for alignment and then like some good that came out of it. Do you have a good story for us with this conversation?
Yeah, well, I think there's two kind of things here. I think we talked about this on the last episode where, you know, you can be aligned around the wrong thing. So a story about that is very common today, where alignment is happening around a vision for succession. Like, we're handing off senior leadership to the next generation. And for that, whatever, 2-year run, that becomes the vision in. I would call that an alignment around the wrong thing. So we're not talking very much about that today, but you got to do some evaluation. Like, are we aligning around the wrong things? The epic fail for me on misalignment is around a church I know, where basically every staff meeting, every elder meeting really wasn't about Great Commission accomplishment, the people were becoming. It was about the personal agendas of a few individuals who were driving conversations in a wrong way, and it was just stymieing everything. And the byproducts are staff started getting discouraged. You know, it just leads to a lot of poison inside of the congregation. Some just incredible alignment. When a team has fought for years to get aligned, we've had First Orlando highlighted for a long time. They're one that comes to mind where they've just fought and fought and fought for 7 or 8 years for better and better alignment. And I think last year, I just heard the stat, they baptized with some of their strategy they focused on about personalizing the Great Commission, getting this out here. They baptized like 1,600 people last year in 2023.
Wow.
And had not ever, I don't think anywhere in their history come close to that number. And it is, when you get more and more toward alignment, it's those kind of victories that we get to see in churches.
It's great. That's so good. I know we talked about this a little bit on the last episode with Bart, but I love thinking about, you know, like moving into the practical, especially for church leaders. We can all grow in this, by the way. Like, for our listeners, it doesn't matter if we think we're really aligned, we still have to be intentional about pursuing alignment, because just as quickly as, you know, we might have alignment, it goes away. It goes away actually way quicker than how long it took to get alignment, you know? And so I love thinking about stuff like this. Like, they say, you know, like a hockey player, when they come out on the ice, their first 3 steps are the most important, because that kind of helps determine their trajectory of where they're going on the ice. And so, Doug, for our listeners, what are the first three steps? If we're like, I want to maybe commit to greater alignment, particularly, and I'm thinking our staff and our boards. You know, in our last episode, Bart talked about, you know, kind of some of our personal alignment, which is so, so important. But I just want to click that to another layer of like our, particularly our staff and boards. If there's a church leader that's listening, what are the first three steps of just pursuing greater alignment?
Yeah, I think I would start here, and I'm going to get really, really like down in the weeds. Most of those teams are going to be doing this work through meetings. Mm. So I know it's not sexy. It's not something you're probably taught ever about ministry, but how do you lead great meeting prep and then lead a great meeting is one of the key fundamental things about how you do this. So just my kind of formulaic piece is what are you doing to get people prepared to come into a meeting ahead of time? Mm-hmm. And I'm a huge fan of like a pre-packet going in 24 hours in advance, whatever the meeting may be. I'm not talking about just an agenda. I'm talking about an agenda that is activating thought coming into the meeting. And in order to do that, if you're the meeting preparer for staff or elders, you have to know the end in mind for each of the agenda items you're trying to get to. Like, what are we trying to get done here? Is this a decision, a brainstorm, so on and so forth? That would be number one. And then I would drive to that in the meeting. And then there's this principle that I believe is actually, I've rephrased a Jesus strategy. And that is the power of guided self-discovery. Mm. And what that requires is you to be, as a leader, a great question asker. Mm-hmm. So, and Jesus was, if you go look through the Gospels, Jesus almost always responded with a question. And so when you're doing your meeting prep, I like to have a little formula of 2 to 3 prep questions I'm sending in about that agenda or those agenda items that are preparing people's minds and thinking and hearts to be more aligned. And then in the meeting, I'm using questions to drive guided self-discovery. Mm-hmm. The best way I can give a definition is if you're a parent, it's kind of how you parent when you're an all-star parent. And the opposite when you tell kids is like when you know you kind of messed it up. When you have to prescribe and tell a teenager, sometimes it's for their own safety, but more times than not, they're not going to own it as much because it was you telling them, as opposed mm-hmm. to when you ask a great question of your teen, and they have to, you're teaching them to think, you're guiding their self-discovery, and then ownership and buy-in go through the roof. So back to this topic of alignment, if you can do these things, great preparation, be in advance, and then become a great question asker using a strategy guided self-discovery, I think those tips would get you much, much quicker to the alignment you're seeking.
So good. Doug, we got to wrap up our time today, but this has been a great discussion. I think for our listeners, just continuing to focus in on alignment, because there's so much good that God has in mind for our churches and for the people of our church and for the people in the sphere of influence of our church and the people of our church. And so getting alignment, especially around the right thing, is just so, so important. Can't stress that enough. And so we've talked about today just some of the signs of maybe some of the misalignment, maybe some of the phrases to listen for, to watch for, to know, ooh, our staff or our eldership might be experiencing some misalignment. We even talked about some of the good that comes from when we put in the work to get alignment, and then just some really practical steps, like be thinking about our meetings, what purpose do they serve, and how are we equipping people to come in prepared to a meeting, to come in ready to work, not coming to the meeting to just figure out what we're going to talk about, but like, let's get after some stuff. Let's be aligned walking into the meeting of what the goal of the meeting is, and then asking some great questions. Doug, so good. I am just hoping that any listener that's following along right now just takes one of your great pieces of wisdom here and applies it so that every church that's affected can take one more step in the direction of alignment. So thanks for listening to the Intentional Churches podcast. This has been fun, and we'll see you next time.